Call the first one, 25-20073. Forgive me if I mispronounce. Kiwa Fadi?
Yes, sir.
V. Bondi. Mr. Rivera, whenever you're ready.
Good afternoon.
May it please the court. I'm Ed Rivera on behalf of the appellants. The appellants are sisters, political figures in Venezuela who came to the United States to file for political asylum. Their applications were filed and remain pending with USCIS for over 8 years. Finally, despite the merits of their claims, the Houston Asylum Office declined to grant their application due to a technical reason. The appellants were at the time and are now currently in temporary protected status. Therefore, they are ineligible to be placed in removal proceedings for de novo review. This brings us to the question before the court. These consolidated cases present a narrow but very vital question. Whether the denial of an application for asylum by USCIS, explicitly labeled final, with no appeal and no referral to an immigration judge, is final agency action reviewable under the Administrative Procedures Act when the applicants are in lawful status when the decision is made? We submit that it is. The district court erred in dismissing these actions. Number one, finding that USCIS denial marked the consummation of agency decision-making process and because it produced immediate legal consequence. Number two, there is no other adequate administrative remedy that exists. Requiring a TPS holder to forfeit their lawful status merely to obtain a review runs contrary to both the INA structure and the APA's text. Therefore, subject matter does exist as final agency has in fact happened.
Just as a procedure, if you do step outside your TPS status to apply for asylum, hoping, I suppose, that you would get a quick hearing. And let's say asylum is denied. Can you then reclaim TPS status?
It would be exceptionally complicated to go backwards and reclaim TPS status. TPS allows you to remain in lawful status while it's active and while the country is designated, but if you lapse TPS status, meaning you surrender it or you don't renew it, it becomes exceedingly difficult to go back into it because you have to essentially ask USCIS to forgive your lapse and re-grant your status.
But you use the term renew it. Do you have to periodically renew TPS status?
Yes, TPS
is
published in the Federal Register. It's a country-by-country specific designation by the executive office. And they give it a designation period and a registration period. An individual must continue to re-register once their country is designated again.
How often do you have to re-register for Venezuela?
Well, generally it's about a year, year and a half. There's some ongoing litigation right now in several courts regarding the withdrawal of TPS and de-designation of Venezuela. After Biden left office, he designated TPS again for Venezuela. Then it was withdrawn by the Trump administration, and now it's in this continued legal litigation pathway in the Ninth Circuit regarding what the ability to actually end TPS for Venezuela. So it's a complicated matter at the moment.
Where is it in the Ninth Circuit?
Right now, TPS, and this is the difficult part, depending on when you filed, TPS could be extended or it could have ended. So the...
No, I'm sorry. In which court is it pending in the Ninth Circuit?
It's in the Ninth Circuit right now. There's been several other lawsuits as well, and then it's most likely going to be re-decided by the Supreme Court.
So if TPS prevents removal... explain, how can the asylum denial possibly mark the consummation of the agency process when the statute expressly contemplates defensive asylum later?
Right. That is correct. The defense of asylum is not a guarantee for everybody. The assumption, I think, sometimes people believe is all non-immigrants who are in status ultimately end up in removal proceedings. But that is not the case. The vast majority of individuals who are in the United States lawfully never go see an immigration judge or never place in removal proceedings. To be placed in removal proceedings, you essentially have to violate your immigration status, either by letting it lapse or a volitional act which causes you to be placed in removal proceedings based on something you've done, like the commission of a crime or the ending of employment for your petitioning employer. So the vast majority of individuals will never end in removal proceedings. So removal proceedings in that context does not exactly function as an appellate review of an affirmative application, because for the most part, people don't get there.
Your clients are still legally present, still authorized to work, correct?
Yes, sir.
So tell me, what concrete real-world legal right has changed because of this denial?
That's a good point and distinction to make. The temporary protective status is lawful status. However, it never leads anything further than just that. A grant of asylum will lead you to permanent residence. A grant of asylum is permanent and indefinite, in which you are able to apply for adjustment of status to permanent resident after having 1 year of asylum status. Temporary protective status leads nowhere but temporary status.
So, is it right to say that your argument is that the denial cuts off a pathway to a permanent status?
That is correct. Okay. It cuts off a pathway. The decision is final for these individuals, and the injury is concrete because it ends the immigration process for them. Essentially, what happens is the system, the way that the courts have looked at it, is it rewards individuals who have violated their immigration status with de novo review and punishes individuals who are in lawful status with no avenue, no recourse, no remedy. If they're saying that there is no remedy to apply for review under the APA, under district court, these individuals have no remedy. They are left without recourse, where an individual who violates their status would actually have de novo review.
Could your clients relinquish TPS and seek asylum defensively right now if they want review?
Absolutely, but that would be a very arduous thing to ask an individual is to violate immigration law in order for you to get de novo review. Nowhere else does that exist.
Why are you saying that's violating immigration law? Are you saying that that's what it is once you give up your TPS?
They would be in the United States without authorization. That is correct.
But why is that a problem for us rather than for Congress to fix?
Because the APA has allowed a pathway for these kind of claims to proceed. If there is no adequate remedy, the APA allows for district court review. In this particular context, there is no administrative remedy for these individuals but to seek relief under the APA under 704 in district court.
Are you asking us to split from the Seventh Circuit?
I don't think it's a circuit split because the decision that the government heavily cites is DACA.
Right.
And DACA was decided in 2018. In 2018, this is a precursor to the Supreme Court's decisions and the Fifth Circuit's decisions in Solorzano and Sanchez. The idea of what TPS was wasn't fully fleshed out at that time. Many courts, and immigration courts and federal courts, believe TPS to be more akin to a deferred action, a temporary placeholder. But after these two cases came out, it is clear that temporary protective status is actual lawful status. They decoupled the admission and status portion, but they did find that TPS is actual a lawful status. So the idea kind of collapses in DACA because their understanding was TPS holders were subject to removal proceedings because it wasn't an actual status as a placeholder. But that is incorrect at the moment following the decision in 2021.
Thank you.
The core arguments of the appellants regarding the denials is that USCIS has made a final agency action. Specifically, we refer to Bennett v. Speer. the Supreme Court developed a test to determine whether an agency's action is final. The court looked at the action must mark the consummation of the agency process, and it must determine rights or obligations or have legal consequences. Both prongs are met here. USCIS has issued a written decision stating there is no appeal from this decision and declined to refer it to an immigration judge. This concludes the agency process. The Bennett reasoning is carried forward in Sackett v. EPA in 2023. The government has argued that the asylum handbook and the text of the appellant's denial are non-final. However, they are at the minimum have a binding practical effect. As in the Speer Court, they found that an agency arguing a decision as non-binding does not escape judicial review under the APA if the two-part test is made. Similarly, the Fifth Circuit applies Bennett in American Airlines, in Texas versus EEOC, and in most recently, Aldape v. Garland. In Texas v. EEOC, the Fifth Circuit rejected the notion that an agency could evade review by simply labeling a decision as interim. So it's not what they categorize, it is the effect that it has. In the instant matter, the practical legal effect is that the appellant's denial forecloses their eligibility for asylum. It bars derivative relief for their family members, and it fixes their status in this legal limbo of temporary protected status. The decision is definitive and is stated as final. There is no available alternative. This circuit has also emphasized that effective enforcement of a statute is a very important factor in determining finality, American Airlines determined. Here, the government's position undermines effective enforcement because, like I mentioned, it penalizes those who maintain lawful status. It creates this perverse incentive that only by violating the law, letting your status slip, can you seek judicial review. Congress did not design a system that rewards non-compliance with the INA.
Maybe this isn't a great question, but I'll ask it anyway. Let's say at some point the TPS for Venezuela ends, however that happens. What happens to your clients at that point?
The government can elect to place them into removal proceedings if they have not changed status to another status category. However, the future possible alternatives of what could happen, it does not prevent finality when the decision was decided. I think the APA's gaze looks at what happens at the moment the decision was decided, not possible future outcomes or discretionary avenues for them. They look at finality from the moment it happened. The decision happened when USCIS declined their application. Finality, for all purposes, was at that moment.
Okay.
The government has also, as you mentioned, insisted that the denials are non-final because the appellates might one day renew them defensively. However, in Aldape, Judge Higginbotham wrote a long concurrence, which he warned about this kind of rationale in his thinking. He stated that removal proceedings do not function as an administrative appeal, as only a small amount of non-immigrants are ever removed or violate their status.
So Aldape, is that the decision you're talking about from our court? Is that a problem for your argument here? Are we going to have to sort of be at war with that decision?
No, Aldape dealt with a different application. Aldape dealt with an application for adjustment of status. And there is a jurisdictional stripping statute that forbids a federal district court to review decisions regarding adjustment status. So while Aldape is instructive as far as jurisdiction and finality, it is a completely different animal as it deals with an adjustment status that is judicially stripped from review. But what we are presenting is an application for asylum, which is not judicially stripped under 1252. There's nothing that prevents review.
To your knowledge, has any federal court found jurisdiction to review the denial of an affirmative asylum application prior to an alien pursuing defensive asylum?
A federal circuit court or a district court? I believe there's a district court decision out in Louisiana in 2001 However, these are a little bit dated cases, and as I mentioned, our understanding of TPS has changed since the 2021 decision of Solazano and Sanchez. So any of those precursor decisions need to be reevaluated under the instruction of the Supreme Court. Another thing that Higginbotham had mentioned is that the finality on one agency is a decision by USCIS. It must be considered final because then they are asking another department, which is Department of Justice, to review the application. Therefore, it must be considered final because you cannot say that an agency has made their decision and then asking another department, another agency, to review that decision.
Okay, Mr. Rivera, we'll see you back on rebuttal. You've reserved 5 minutes.
Yes.
We'll see you back then. We'll now hear from counsel for the Department of Homeland Security and all the other defendants.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Daniel Schiffenbauer on behalf of the United States. The government respectfully requests that this Court affirm the dismissals of the two district courts of appellants' complaints seeking review of USCIS's non-final denials of their asylum applications. Appellants bring their claims sounding in the Administrative Procedure Act, which only allows challenges to final agency action. Without the finality requirement being met, district courts, federal judiciary, does not have jurisdiction to review the merits of the case.
What is the process for establishing TPS? I don't mean the individuals, but who makes the decision to grant TPS? President, Congress, whom?
So that would be up to the Secretary of State to determine, to designate countries for which individuals can seek TPS.
So it's the Secretary of State who, of course, is in the executive branch. Do you see any separation of powers problems here with this particular case where it's discretionary with the executive branch, Secretary of State, to set up TPS, and then we're being asked to make it mandatory that if you're not granted asylum when you're in TPS, the courts have to review it? I mean, what's the basis for that?
That's a good question. Frankly, I did not consider there being a separation of powers issue. I think, of course, it is up to the government to determine which countries are eligible for TPS. But the core question here is whether USCIS's action is final. And the government submits that it is not. As my friend on the other side noted, of course, these applications may be renewed in removal proceedings at some future date. It may not be a pleasant idea that an individual would have to withdraw their TPS in order to be placed in removal proceedings, but the appellants in this case do have the choice to do so.
Go ahead. I was just ready. I'll ask the question when you finish.
Thank you. They have the opportunity to do so by submitting a written request to withdraw their TPS and to be issued notices to appear, at which point, once the Department of Homeland Security issues notices to appear, they would also transfer the actual asylum applications that USCIS reviewed to the Immigration Court, along with all supporting documentation for de novo, effectively administrative appellate.
Well, TPS, in a sense, is recognition of dire living conditions in a particular country. And as a matter of executive grace, persons are allowed to have TPS status in this country. And that's my question. TPS can be granted, it can be taken away. And that's my concern, is because it is such a matter of executive branch grace that's determined by the Secretary of State, this idea that you acquire other rights once we're protecting you in this country. It's like jumping from A to B.
I see. I apologize. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Well, keep going.
So it's the government's position that the individuals in this case may withdraw their temporary protected status, request to be placed into removal proceedings, at which point they would have the opportunity, the executive branch would have the opportunity to have the final say, final determination on these individuals' eligibility for asylum.
Well, I have to admit there's some traction in my mind in the argument that there are real consequences from this denial of asylum. The first thing that was mentioned was that it cuts off a pathway to permanent status, whereas now they're in sort of a limbo. What is your response to that? Isn't that a concrete legal consequence of the decision?
It certainly has some effect. However,
What is that? That's what I'm getting at. What is the effect?
They would not be eligible to pursue lawful permanent residency in the future. TPS is not a basis to do that.
Okay, so why isn't that, a legal right has been determined for finality purposes. Why isn't that? Why haven't they satisfied the prong by pointing to that?
Well, the DeKalb court did reason that because they are protected from removal, and I would also note have employment authorization and can request advance parole to travel if they would like, that effectively there is no legal right. But I take Your Honor's point that not being able to pursue permanent residency is a consequence. I think the crucial part here is that also the first prong is not met in this case. The USCIS denials of asylum do not mark the consummation of the executive branch's decision-making process.
How's that? We were told by Mr. Rivera that this decision comes with a no appeal allowed from this decision. So how is it not the consummation of that process?
The individuals would, again, have the opportunity to seek de novo review of their eligibility for asylum in removal proceedings.
Okay, so and tell me how those are going to come about.
So the individuals could withdraw their TPS status, request to be placed into proceedings, at which point USCIS would transmit their asylum application, all supporting documentation, to the Executive Office for Immigration Review.
It's a risky position, don't you think, to put someone in? I mean, they're temporarily protected right now. So you say, well, if you want a final word on this, you have to sort of give that up.
It is a risky position.
But isn't that just making them like any other illegal alien in the country? I mean, they're just getting into the same class as others who come here that don't have the grace of TPS.
That is correct. If they want to pursue a final determination in removal proceedings of their eligibility for asylum, that is what they would have to do. That would be a choice that they could make, and it would be a risk.
So TPS makes removal discretionary, but indefinite deferral can stretch heaven knows how long, for years. So is there a point ever where delay itself becomes a final agency act?
No, Your Honor. No, I suppose, Your Honor, are you thinking maybe a mandamus action could be sought or compel a determination?
Well, I just wondered if deferral can just carry on for heaven knows how long. You're kind of stuck in this forever limbo. Is there a point where that prolonged, protracted delay itself practically becomes a final agency action?
No, Your Honor, it would not. There always remains the opportunity to seek review in removal proceedings. And I would like to know.
So if TPS renews indefinitely, it's your view that the sisters never get judicial review?
No, Your Honor, that's not the government's position. The sister could withdraw.
Unless they withdraw.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Which your friend on the other side says would offend, breach, violate the law, if I heard him right.
So the Immigration and Nationality Act actually contemplates these very proceedings, removal proceedings that we're discussing. It would align with the structure of the Immigration and Nationality Act for the individuals to avail themselves of removal proceedings in order to have de novo review of their asylum applications.
What's your view? When I asked whether we were being invited to create a split with the Seventh Circuit, I was told that the legal landscape with respect to TPS has changed since the Seventh Circuit decision by the Solizano and Sanchez cases. Do you agree with that?
No, Your Honor, I do not agree with that. Solizano and Sanchez both are in opposite to the instant case because they dealt with adjustment of status and my apologies. Whether individuals who are in TPS are lawfully admitted for the purposes of seeking adjustment of status. Status and admission are two distinct concepts that are not necessarily at play in this case. The core question, they're not relevant to the question of whether USCIS denials constitute final agency action.
Okay. So you, in your view, if we ruled for the applicants here, the petitioners, then we would create a split with the Seventh Circuit. Or not.
Yes, I believe that would create a split. And I'm also unaware of any other circuits that have addressed this precise issue. So I believe that would create a split.
Okay.
I would also like to, I apologize, I can't recall who said it. One of your honors asked whether appellants were effectively asking the court to rewrite a statute or to do the job of Congress. I would like to note that 8 U.S.C. 1252, particularly A5 and B9, are very clear that the process for judicial review of an asylum application is through the petition for review process, following review by the Executive Office for Immigration Review, then brought to the appropriate Court of Appeals.
Do you have any thoughts on the form of dismissal, 12B1 versus 12B6?
I do have thoughts on that. I found that quite interesting. I believe this court should affirm the dismissals should find that the final agency action is jurisdictional and not a merits question. That would be in keeping with Al-Dakhli. The reasoning in that is sound, and I believe the court should follow that precedent and affirm both courts. The one that found on 12B6, the government would ask that the court affirm on the alternative ground that it lacked jurisdiction.
Anything else?
No, Your Honors. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Mr. Rivera, we'll hear you on rebuttal.
Yes, sir. Essentially, what the government is proposing is that the appellants invite detention, arrest, and apprehension by withdrawing their applications for temporary protective status.
Is there any statistics, I don't recall from your brief, but any statistics backing up what you're saying about detention, risk detention, et cetera, as opposed to being paroled or whatever might be the case?
I think detention and continued detention is a product of the executive office policy. In the current environment, everybody is being detained and taken into
everybody.
Custody. Essentially, everybody that who is out of status.
How many persons are detained right now?
I couldn't give you the exact number, but I know for a fact the numbers have just escalated by large amounts throughout the United States. It is as a policy matter right now for the executive office, and essentially, if they gave up their temporary protected status, they're inviting being arrested at their home and taken into custody into an immigration detention facility. That's the real-world consequence that they have to...
Like other aliens?
Correct. Like an individual who entered the United States.
So, once again, you're seeking preferred treatment for those who come here under or get a TPS while they're in this country?
I think that there should not be a penalty for an individual who maintains their lawful status from attempting to seek de novo review or appellate review. There shouldn't be a penalty on these individuals, because right now individuals with no status are essentially rewarded.
Well, you're asking that they just get to step to the front of the line on the judicial proceedings.
I don't think I'm asking that they step to the front of the line. I'm asking that they have an adequate remedy.
Do you think there's a remedy for every wrong?
The Administrative Procedures Act, the theme regarding the APA and 704 is to create this judicial review where there are gaps in agency review so that they may actually provide an adequate remedy.
So what is the concrete injury your client suffer beyond delay?
Delay is, I think the assumption is delay that they may one day fall out of status. This is a hypothetical.
They may what?
Their injury.
One day what?
May fall out of status. They may one day lose their status. The injury occurred the moment the decision was made.
And I don't say this lightly, but you would hope they would fall out of status if TPS is removed because of a change of conditions in the country for which they have TPS.
I would hope they never have to experience removal proceedings, because you have the risk of continued detention and you have restrictions on your liberty at that point. It does not properly serve as appellate review for these particular applicants. So I do not wish that they would go to removal proceedings. We believe in our position.
No, you didn't follow my question. You would wish that TPS was not necessary for a particular country, in this instance, Venezuela. You would hope that they could go back to home and not have the conditions there that generate TPS status in this country.
That's a difficult answer, because they've also applied for asylum. They applied for asylum due to fear of persecution from their home country.
For political reasons.
Correct.
Right. Well, you would hope that those political reasons would no longer exist one of these days.
I would hope. Yes, Your Honor. That is correct. A couple things I wanted to mention as well. The government brought up 1252 and the lineal pathway in which a federal court reviews asylum applications, but that is a pathway if you're in removal proceedings. The pathway for reviewing a asylum application generally is the immigration judge, the Board of Immigration Appeals, and then on a petition for review to the circuit court. But if they're not in removal proceedings and they're not subject to removal proceedings, this idea of 1252 doesn't gel. They are not subject to removal. So the government's argument on that aspect does not pan out. And once again, I wanted to bring it up again. The proposition is that USCIS falls under the Department of Homeland Security. They are a single agency. They have made a decision on this matter. What the government has asked them now is there's no final agency action, because we need a second agency or a second department to now make a decision on your matter, which is the immigration court system, which falls under the Department of Justice. That would not be the themes under a sphere. Agency action ended when USCIS made it.
Okay. Mr. Rivera, thank you very much. We appreciate the able